Jesus. And sometimes I think about that, and I think about how my life has changed and the difference that Jesus made and the difference that he makes on an ongoing basis. What would it be like without Jesus? What would it be like without hope, without purpose, without reason? And you know, when we think about Jesus and the works of Jesus, what he did, it encourages my heart to know that there's something tangible that we follow, not a pie in the sky thinking, that we're not following imaginary tales, but we're following a historical man who came into this world and historically died on the cross for our sins and historically rose again from the dead. We have a Savior that is real. And he is the answer. And tonight we're going to look at the account from the book of Luke, if you want to turn there, if you have your Bibles. We're going to read through part of the story of Christmas, but I want to focus on one in particular individual named Simeon. That's in verses 25 through 35. So we're going to pick it up in Luke chapter 2, verse 6. So it was, while they were there, the days were completed for her, Mary, to be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. And now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling cloths, lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." And so it was, when the angels had gone away from them into heaven, that the shepherds said to one another, "Let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us." And they came with haste, and they found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. Now when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child, and all those who heard it marveled at those things which are told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen as it was told them. And when 8 days were completed for the circumcision of the child, his name was called Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. Now when the days of her purity or her purification according to the law of Moses was completed, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male who opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves, or two young pigeons. Now we come to Simeon. This very interesting man who comes on the scene. And I find it interesting as we read the accounts of the event that we're looking at, the incarnation, that there are just so many different reactions, so many different people involved, so many people that are brought into this scene. And Simeon now, it says in verse 25, it says, "Behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And this man was just and devout." So we don't know a lot about Simeon, but what we get here, the word Simeon or the name Simeon means the Lord hears or God hears. So as we look at Simeon, we get a little bit of information. I think it's important that we sort of unpack a little bit of the characteristics of Simeon, because as we do that, we start to find out a little bit more of why God revealed certain things to him in the way that he did. So Simeon, meaning the Lord hears, we are told to behold him, which is a word that says really there's something that stands out about him. You know, it's like somebody like pointing somewhere and say, "Look, check that out." You may be driving around looking at lights and you say, "Look at that one. Look at that one." Simeon was a guy like that. Simeon was noted here for us in the Holy Word, and he was one that is being looked at or being brought to our attention in a time where the world was really in upheaval. The world was in chaos. This was a time where there was legalism religiously, there was liberalism religiously and politically. There is the Roman rule and oppression. There is violence. There is hedonism. There was confusion. There was hopelessness. It was difficult for people to look and find something that they would say, "Well, that sort of gives me hope." It'd be difficult to find something that they would be able to say, "Well, I think things might get better." For the most part, they didn't have that. And on this scene, we find there's a person that stands out. An individual that stands out. And it says he was a just and a devout man. And those words are interesting. The word devout means that he holds well. He holds well. And what this is referring to is his relationship with God. So here we have a man that's pointed out saying, "Look at him. Look at this guy in a world without hope, in a world where everybody seems to be going down a path of destruction, where what is ruling the day is power and politics and control and violence and hedonism. Look at this guy. He's holding well to his relationship with God." And that shows us that we can hold well to our relationship with God regardless of what's going on around us. That's what it means to be devoted or to be devout. And it says he was just. So as Simeon held well to his relationship with God, and what he was holding on to was the Old Testament. What he was holding on to is what he learned in the Word, what he knew in the Word. And as we're going to see, that gave him hope. As he held on to that, and then because he was holding well to his relationship with God, that means he was just. And that has to do with how he relates to other people. So he held well to his relationship with God, which meant that he didn't have to look at his life as one that it's either me or him. It's either I get power or they get power. It's either me or not me. It's either I'm on the top or somebody else is on the top. And because he held well to his relationship with God, he wasn't a citizen of earth. And so he was able to deal with other people well. And that's how we're able to deal with other people well, is because of our relationship with God. Our relationship with God vertically will affect our relationship with others horizontally. In other words, our relationship with God plays itself out in the battleground of our relationships. And so when we hold well to our relationship with God, that will encourage our relationships with other people. And that's why the Bible says, blessed are the peacemakers. That's why during the holidays, during Christmas time, this can bring up a lot of sensitivities and a lot of emotions, a lot of difficult feelings. And maybe even some of those feelings are a result of your relationship with God, which some of your family members don't appreciate. Maybe it's uncomfortable. Maybe it's awkward. Maybe it's difficult. Maybe it's a big trial. Maybe during this time you have your feelings are sort of inflamed because of loved ones or friends or family that have walked away from the Lord, when in fact you are holding well to your relationship with God. But see, the Bible says if it's possible to be at peace with all men. And so from a believer's end who is walking with God in the Spirit, that we, from our end, can be peaceful towards those who may not be peaceful towards us. That doesn't always mean we'll have a response that we want. But as much as is possible with us, we are to be at peace with all men. But see, it's often difficult because a believer is to walk in the light. Jesus is the light of the world. And we need to understand that as lights, we're not to hide our light under a basket, but we're to shine our light. So what we see with Simeon was that he held well to his relationship with God. He was devoted to God. He was loyal to God. He wasn't going to shy away from his faith. And because of that, then he had just relationships with other people, that from his end, he was treating people with the love of Christ that Christ had given him. But we know, just as in with Jesus' love towards other people, that that's not always reciprocated. But please remember, as believers, that we are the light that people will see. And during this time, this is a time for us as believers to shine the love of Christ in the places of darkness. And so just be encouraged and be careful not to hide your light under a lampstand, but shine that light, because your light may be the only light that someone may see, especially a family member. But what we learn from Simeon is that this devout, just man, notice what it says next. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel. So what this is referring to, and if your Bible's correct, consolation will be capitalized because this is Jesus. So here's a man that knew the Old Testament scriptures. Here's a man that was seeing religious atrocities, religious legalism, Pharisaical attitudes, putting religious burdens on people that they could not keep. He was seeing the politicalization of religion. He was seeing religion take advantage of people, extorting money out of people in the name of religion. He was seeing incredible violence and hedonism, and yet what he was about was waiting. That word is also looking for. He was looking for the consolation of Israel. And that's a messianic term, consolation. It's probably capitalized in your Bible. It should be, because that means he is waiting for Jesus. Isn't that something? In the midst of so much darkness, you have this one man stand out, and he was holding well to his relationship with God, which enabled him to treat other people well and justly. And the reason was is because he was waiting, or in other words, he was looking for the consolation. Another way to say that is the comfort of Israel. So he knew his Bible. He knew what was coming. And even though there were 400 silent years from the book of Malachi until the book of Matthew, that there wasn't a prophet prophesying from God, and there wasn't written scripture, and nobody was hearing, there were no apostles, it was just silent, but this guy Simeon was holding on to the word of God, and because he was holding on to the word of God, he was able to be living in a way where he was looking for Jesus. People may have told him, "You're crazy. What are you looking for Jesus for?" People say that today, right? I've been hearing about people talking about Jesus coming back forever. You Calvary Chapel people, Chuck Smith was talking about that in the 70s. What happened? Where's Jesus? So if you're not going to look for Jesus, what are you looking for? That's my question. What else are you going to look for? Peter was challenged in that regard. Peter didn't like some of the things that Jesus was saying. And Peter didn't like some of the things that Jesus was saying was causing many of the people to leave him. And so maybe his disciples were concerned they weren't going to have a mega church or a mega synagogue. And they're like, "Jesus, tone it down a little bit. People are leaving. Your popularity is going to wane. You're not going to be an influencer. Your social media is going to take a hit. Be careful. Don't say that stuff." People don't like to hear that. And I love how Jesus put that right back on Peter. And he said, "Peter, what about you? What are you going to do?" I think that's a good question for us. What are we looking for? What are we looking at? What are we hoping for? How are we looking for solutions and answers? And you know what Peter said? "Where am I going to go? You have the words of eternal life." And what he is saying is, "I don't like what you're saying, but I don't have a better alternative because you're saying the truth." And so those are times where we're confronted with what are we going to do when we're presented with the truth and we don't like it. And it may conflict with how we see things. We always have to go back to saying, "Lord, your will be done." And that really gets to the root of our Christianity. When we're faced with challenges, with difficulties, with things we don't like, will we say, Lord, your will be done. A lot of our problems that we have as Christians are simply because we're not submitted to the will of God. And we can be doing a lot of things, but if we're not submitted to the will of God, we're going to come to places in our Christian life. It's sort of like a crossroads. It's sort of like the children of Israel on the border of Kadesh Barnea and the Promised Land. Kadesh Barnea being the desert, the Promised Land being the land of abundance. And we come to these places in our Christian life. And what these places, what the Promised Land is, what the wilderness is, what the difference is, really comes down to, are we going to be submitted to God's will or not? Simeon was a guy, he was... so different than the culture around him that his life was one that the Bible says it was one that we should look at, one that stands out. And we're finding out this incredible reason is that the waiting on the Lord, or the looking on the consolation, or for the consolation, in other words, it wasn't just that he was waiting for a time for this to happen, which was part of it. And that's we should be looking for a time. See, he was looking for Jesus' first coming. We should have the same attitude for Jesus' second coming. We should be Simeons of the second coming. We should be waiting on the consolation of Israel, the Messiah. But see, as we look to him, it's not just looking to the event of him coming. And the disciples, they wanted Jesus to tell them when. And in a way, the disciples were looking for the when and not for the why. And see, if Jesus would have gave them the when, which he didn't know either, only the Father knows, it may cause somebody to behave differently, because then it would become about the date and not about the date giver. Maybe that's why we don't know when, but when we don't know when, we're to live with expectation always. That's the point. That's how we live for the second coming. We live in expectation. And that expectation is our hope, because our hope is in one that the Bible says will come back again. And when he comes back the second time, he's going to set everything right. He's going to make everything right again. But it's not that way right now. That's why we have to be careful to understand now is the time of preparation for perfection. Now is not perfection. But see, Simeon knew that. And so because he knew that, he was waiting for the time, because he was looking at what the Bible said, the Old Testament said about a Messiah coming. He was looking for that. But because he was looking for that, he was settled in where his hope was, and his hope was in the person of the Messiah. So he knew one way or another he was going to be good, because he had faith in the Messiah. He also knew that whenever the Messiah would come, he would still personally be preserved by the Messiah, because his hope was in God and his faith was in God even before Jesus came and died again, just like we were told for Abraham, the father of faith, going way back. He was righteous before God because he had faith in God. So he had faith in God before the cross. We have faith in God after the cross. Simeon had faith in God. The world was collapsing for us during this time of Christmas. This year, it seems like the world is collapsing, but in God's economy, it's actually all coming together. For those who are in Christ, the day of the Lord is a blessing. For those not in Christ, the day of the Lord is the worst day that will ever happen and continue to happen for you. And so it's important to be right with the Lord. So it says this Simeon, one who heard God, listened to God, this just and devout man, he was waiting or looking for the Messiah, the consolation of Israel, the comfort of Israel, another word for consolation. He was looking at God for the answers and to be his hope. And it says, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. You see, this whole thing all goes together. This is how we live our life as Christians, and that word upon is interesting because it suggests in an unusual way here, because it's before Pentecost where the Holy Spirit was poured out on the church, but in the Old Testament, there are various times where the Holy Spirit came upon individuals for specific anointing and empowering for ministry and service, and that's what for the New Testament believer, that's what the Holy Spirit coming upon us is. It's the Holy Spirit coming upon us to empower us for ministry in the work of the Lord. And that's available to every believer if we ask for it. But watch this in verse 26. And it had not been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. So the Holy Spirit said, Simeon, I see you. I see your prayers. I see you waiting on the Messiah. I see you living your life in a chaotic, decaying world. And you know what, Simeon? You're not going to die until you actually see him. Now, can you imagine what, first of all, that must have been like when he heard that? A guy who we're told that was important to him, that he would pray about it, he would think about it, he would study about it. And the Lord actually told him, Simeon, you're going to be alive to see this event happen. Imagine the lack of fear he would have. Imagine if he was married and his wife said, you need to take a coat when you go outside or you're going to freeze to death. No, I'm not worried about that. Imagine driving his chariot too fast and he'd say, I'm not worried about that. Until I see the Messiah, I'm invincible. But you know what's interesting about that? What's interesting is, in a way, for a believer, we should not fear because we know the Bible says it is appointed man once to die and then comes judgment. And what I believe that is saying is that God has a calendar and the day of our departure is on that calendar. It's a day. We have a day. We have an appointment. There's an appointed day for all of us. And because that day is appointed, that doesn't necessarily mean we should test the Lord, but it means that we are invincible until the time that God has set for us. And so what may seem in many cases like a surprise to us when somebody goes to be with the Lord, what we would consider early or tragically, in God's economy, He has these things scheduled. And so we need to live wisely, but we also need to know that we're all going to depart from this life, and God knows how and when that's going to be and doesn't want us to live in fear until that time. He wants us to live full throttle, empowered by the Holy Spirit, fully by His grace and for His kingdom. And we should not live in fear. We should live in fear of not doing His will, but not in fear of going to be with Him at His appointed time. So Simeon was actually told by the Holy Spirit that you're not going to die until you see this Messiah. So notice this. In verse 27 it says, so he came to the temple by the Spirit. And it says, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law. Now this is what it's like when the Holy Spirit's working. This is what is so amazing about living your life in obedience to the Holy Spirit. Because God is working things out from a lot of different angles. And to think that because of Simeon's obedience and God told him to go to the temple at this time, at the exact same time he was working in Jesus' parents to bring him to the temple at the same time for this meeting. But see, when we follow the Holy Spirit and other people follow the Holy Spirit, then God is working things out from incredible angles. And I always, when something, an event occurs or something amazing, it's always interesting to see all how God led the other people involved in whatever event it may be, and see how he brought all these things together for such a time that God has appointed. But see, we need to follow the Holy Spirit in order for there to be that supernatural element in our life. And sometimes we feel like or may think that being a Christian is just following rules and things like that, and we lack the supernatural element in our life. And I'm telling you, it's when you follow the Holy Spirit in obedience, then you will have these supernatural elements in your life that make it difficult for you to explain. And all you can say is, it's the Lord. I don't know. Well, why'd you do that? Or why'd you? I don't know. It was the Lord leading me. And so we are led by the Holy Spirit. Simeon was led by the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit was leading Mary and Joseph to be right at the same place, right at the same time, to fulfill what God had said to Simeon. Imagine all the things going on, all the potential problems for this not to happen. But God never fails, right? God's never going to fail. So imagine if God told Simeon that you're going to see the Messiah before you die, but Joseph and Mary got hung up in another town, or they were late or something like that. See, God doesn't work like that. And so sometimes I think when I kind of feel the Holy Spirit impressing something on me and it just maybe seems weird or I don't want to do it, I think maybe somebody else is actually praying from the other side something too. So maybe God puts it on your heart to pray with somebody or to share your faith with somebody, and you feel weird and uncomfortable, but maybe they're saying, Lord, send somebody to me. Mm-hmm. Maybe their family members are saying, Lord, send somebody to share the gospel with my daughter or my son or whoever it is. Bring somebody in their life. So that's why it's so important to be obedient to the Holy Spirit. But anyway, in verse 28, Simeon takes the baby up into his arms. Now, can you just imagine that? this devout, just man, led by the Holy Spirit, being told by the Holy Spirit that he's going to see the Messiah, and he brings him to this place at this time, and he's holding the baby in his hands. I wonder if this was his vision for the Messiah. See, here's another thing. I don't think that was Simeon's vision for the Messiah, because they were thinking the Messiah was going to be a military conqueror of Rome. So in his mind, most likely like the disciples, they were thinking, and he was thinking, when I see the Messiah, he's going to be this brave heart guy in military garb, and he's going to yell out freedom and conquer the Roman Empire. But he's holding a baby. But see, this is what it's like to follow the Holy Spirit. It may not be like we think it's going to be. And it's probably not. Probably the way you're thinking in your mind about your future, it's probably not going to be like that. I can look back on my life now and see when I was 16, 17, 18 years old, I had it all figured out. And my life is, you might want to say, completely opposite than the way I thought. Nothing happened the way I thought it was going to happen. And I praise God for that, because it's way better. But see, that's what it's like following the Holy Spirit. So instead of holding Mel Gibson, he's holding a baby. Now this takes faith, doesn't it? This, to say, this is the Messiah right here. And imagine actually touching, hearing, smelling the humanity of Jesus. It's like holding a little baby. The tender skin and the little squeaky voice. And you think about, man, this was the creator of everything that existed. I'm holding in my hand. And this intersection right there, since the Word became flesh, this is mind-blowing. That this tender, giggly, cooey, precious, vulnerable, tender little baby was the almighty creator of every single thing that existed. And this is the almighty, eternal, uncaused cause of everything. He's holding this baby. This is the mystery and the power of the incarnation of Christmas. And what it tells us tonight is that Christ did not have any limitations to love us. He was willing to go as far as necessary to demonstrate his love for us. And a lot of times we think about the cross and we think about his suffering, and that is good to do that. And that does demonstrate his love for us. But it began with that immeasurable difference of an all-powerful God becoming a vulnerable, tender, dependent baby. That is mind-blowing. That is the Word becoming flesh. That is the 100% God, 100% man, Savior, Jesus Christ. And then he says in verse 29, this is his comments. He says, Lord, I love this prayer. Lord, now you're letting your servant depart in peace. So what this means is, like Simeon, when we have Jesus, we should have peace. You know what that word peace means? That word peace means pulling it all together, pulling something all together. And the reason we don't have peace, when we don't have a right relationship with God, is because our life is all scattered all around. That's stressful. When we're in Christ, when we have peace in Christ, He pulls our whole life together and He holds it all together like He holds the world together. And so that's how we have peace, because He's pulling us all who are meant to be one with God. He's pulling us all together in Christ. And let me ask you, how valuable is peace? If I could give you $1 billion today, but I could tell you you could never have peace, would you take it? It's not worth it. If you're a believer, you have peace in Christ, there's no amount of money that can buy that. You have one of the greatest things that money can't buy, and you have that in Jesus Christ. And what we see here is Simeon saying, now I see the Messiah, the Counselor, the Comforter, the Eternal God, and I see Him, and now I can go in peace. What that suggests to us is our peace is a result of being in Christ and walking in Him. And we can have peace regardless of what is going on. But notice what he says next. According to your word. That is so important. Peace is in accordance with God's word. Why? Because God's word is truth. And when we walk in truth, we walk in peace. But isn't it interesting that Simeon based his whole life prior to this event on the word of God, and now look at the payoff. Look at the reality. Look at what has come to fruition. And whenever we come to a place where we just say, Lord, your word is true, and I'm going to put my life in your hands and walk according to your word. If you do that, you will never be disappointed. If you don't walk according to God's word, you will be disappointed. So look at this, verse 30. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared before the face of all peoples, a light to bring revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people to Israel. So what he's saying is this Messiah is not just for Israel, but now he's for the Gentiles. In other words, John 3:16, for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life. And it all started right here. What an amazing, powerful story. What an amazing, powerful God that we serve. And so this Christmas, this is so great, because we can just strip everything away and everything down to, no matter what this year has been, no matter what's going on in your life right now, no matter what, it doesn't matter, because Jesus is the answer. It doesn't matter, because Jesus is real. He's our hope, and He's going to bring us home one day, and before then, He's going to take care of us in every way. Amen. Amen. That's the hope of Christmas. That's what gets me fired up, and that's what gets me excited. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this time together. We thank you, Lord, that we can celebrate, and thank you that we have a true meaning for Christmas. Thank you that although you've blessed us in so many ways with gifts and cookies and candy canes and trees and lights and all that stuff, we're thankful for that, Lord, but man, that just doesn't do it for us. Only you, Lord. Only you do it for us. And so we come to worship you, to rejoice in you, to celebrate you, to thank you, and to give you all the glory. Lord, let us be like Simeon. Let us be like the angels. Let us be like the wise men. Let us be like those who truly know who you are and what you're about. In Jesus' name. Amen. Let's all stand. We have one more song to do, and we're going to turn down the lights and grab a candle. The guys are going to come and light those candles for us, and they'll light the end, and maybe you could just pass it down. Maybe you could strum a little, get us cranked up. So there'll be a lighting, and we're going to worship the Lord and go away like Simeon in peace.